Good morning. Welcome to Sunday Morning with Love in Action. I'm Ken Tuck. Thank you for joining me today. I hope everybody's Sunday is going great, and I hope you're ready to dive into the Word of God this morning. If you were with us last week, we started talking about the Great Commission. And actually, we didn't get into the Great Commission until right at the end. And we'll read that scripture again today and then go from there. But last week, we talked about being a disciple of Jesus, counting the cost of being a disciple of Jesus. That was the big focus of last week's Sunday Morning with Love and Action. If you did not get a chance to hear that, it's okay. This will still make sense to you. But I encourage you to find our podcast, the Love in Action podcast. It's on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify, just a whole bunch of them. I don't even know some of the ones they're on. I'm not even familiar with some of the ones they're on, but they're out there. And so I encourage you to find the Love in Action podcast wherever you listen to the podcast at. And if you would, follow us. And then every time we post something on the podcast, you'll get it. Really encourage you to check out last week's message on our podcast. And this week we will, as I mentioned, talk about the Great Commission, talk about what it is and how we are going to live to be a Great Commission Christian, because that's what Jesus wants us all to be. Before we get into all that, let's first go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Abba Father, oh, we praise you, we adore you, glorify your name this morning, and we just want to exalt you. Father, you are Almighty God. There is no other God but you. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that is within it. You're the one who loves us. You're the one who sent your one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you gave us your word. Father, you gave us your word to teach us, to show us you, to show us how awesome and mighty and powerful you are, to show us the Messiah, to show us that you made the way for us to come to you. And we see Jesus throughout all of Scripture, from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. And we thank you, Jesus, that you did come. And it's not only written in your word, but there's so much proof, even outside the Bible, that you came, that you died, and that you rose again. And I want to thank you, Jesus. You conquered Satan. You conquered sin. You conquered death when you rose from that grave. And we thank you that you ascended to heaven. And today you are at the right hand of the Father. You're interceding for us. You're praying for us. Thank you, Jesus. And I praise you and thank you that you are coming back. And I pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And until that time, or until the time you take me home, oh, Lord, I pray that I'll grow closer to you, that you will work through me to plant and water seeds of your gospel in the hearts of people and to make disciples who make disciples. And I thank you that you show us how we are to make disciples. You show us how we are to live out this life as a follower of yours and to take your Great Commission seriously. Take it to heart and live it out, make it a lifestyle, and to be a Great Commission Christian. So I ask you, Lord Jesus, to let me say what you want me to say today. Holy Spirit, teach us, lead us, and guide us into all your truths, and may you be glorified, Father. For it's in your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. The Great Commission, let's go to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where we left off last week. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Jesus said to them, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." There's a lot there, right? But there's one command in the Great Commission. You know what it is? Well, I can't hear you, so I don't know if you got it right or not, but there's one command in the Great Commission, and it's to make disciples. Often people will say it's to go, but actually the command is to make disciples. In the Greek in which the scripture was written, the words "make disciples" is the imperative of the scripture. So that's why we know that's the command. And it's the direct command from Jesus, make disciples. The words go, baptize, teach, they're all Greek participles. And what that means is, when you translate it, go, baptize, teach, is translated as while going, make disciples. While baptizing, make disciples. While teaching, make disciples. So go, baptize, and teach are how we fulfill the direct command of Jesus to make disciples. They describe the aspects of the process of disciple making. So see, Jesus has everything right there of what we need to do to make disciples and to be obedient to his command to go and make disciples. So how do we do that? Lord, how do we make disciples? Well, he tells us we got to go. We can't just sit still. We can't just say, hey, I'm here at church. I'm going to make a disciple of you. Doesn't work that way. He says to go. And while we're going, we make disciples. While we're going, we're telling people about Jesus, you know. We're letting them know what Jesus has done in our lives. And as they come to faith in Jesus, we make disciples. The other imperative is to baptize. We need to be baptized. Now, that's not salvific, meaning that the baptism does not save you. But it's important to be baptized. Jesus was baptized. He was showing us, he was giving us that example of what we need to do. And he tells us to go and baptize. So since he's telling us to, then he's commanding us to, then we should do it. And so while we're baptizing, we're making disciples. And what else do we need to do? We need to teach. We need to teach all that he has commanded us. Teach others to obey all that he's commanded us. And so a big thing about that is we need to know ourselves, right? So we need to be discipled. And as we're discipled, then we can start discipling others. Big announcement here. It's not just up to your pastor to disciple people or your pastoral staff at your church. Yes, they preach the word. They teach the word. Yes, they make disciples. But it's not just up to them to do that. They can't make disciples of everybody. This command is for all of us to make disciples. There are people in our circle of influence that we can tell about Jesus. And as they come to Christ, we can disciple them one-on-one. You can do it in small groups, but Jesus wants us making disciples. So it's not just up to the pastor to lead them to the Lord and to make disciples of them. No, each person who's a follower of Jesus Christ, who's a disciple of Christ, that's what we're all supposed to be doing. And if you're not doing it, man, are you missing out. It is so fulfilling to make disciples. You see people start to understand how to live this life for Jesus. Light bulbs, if you will, going off. I see that now. It's great. And you get to see that growth. And also, as you're making disciples of others, teaching them, baptizing them, the Holy Spirit's teaching you. I mean, every time I sit down and teach somebody the Word of God, making a disciple one-on-one or in small groups, I learn so much. Even if it's the same material I've taught 100 times, the Holy Spirit still teaches me because it's God's Word. And God's Word is alive. God's Word is so far above us. So when we sit down and read it, the Holy Spirit shows us more and more and more. And as we teach it, we really learn more and more. So it's so fulfilling to be a disciple maker. So I can't say enough. Make disciples. Be obedient to his command here to make disciples by going, by baptizing, and by teaching. Again, these describe the aspects of disciple making. Here's something I want to share with you that comes from a wonderful, wonderful gentleman, a wonderful man of God named Yin Kai. And if you're not familiar with Yin Kai, you really need to be. He wrote a discipleship program called Training for Trainers, and I've been taught that myself. I've taught that to others. And the discipleship material that we teach here at Love and Action, at our Love and Action School of Discipleship, is called DM Squared, Disciples Making Disciple Makers. And it started out as T for T. And so the foundation is T for T, and it's just expanded so much that to call it T for T wouldn't do justice to what T for T is. So T for T, Training for Trainers, is a wonderful discipleship program that has made disciples all over this world for decades. And we just expanded it for what we do here at Love and Action and also globally. But Yin Kai, again, a wonderful, wonderful man. Him and his wife, Grace, who's now gone to be with the Lord, wrote T for T, and they did it for a church planting movement. They were with the IMB, the International Mission Board, and in that movement, they produced 150,000 church starts and more than 2 million baptisms in just a decade. 150,000 planted churches and over 2 million baptisms, and to be honest, those are very conservative numbers. So when I said he's a wonderful man of God, you can see why I say that. And they have continued that work until Grace went home to be with Jesus, but Yin Kai is still going. But he teaches this called 6 Main Points of the Great Commission. I remember when he shared that here in Dothan, it was so powerful. I wish I had a recording of it to play for you because he can share it so much better than I can. But I want to share this with you because we do have it in writing. And it's 6 main points of the Great Commission. Number 1, go not come. The first thing Jesus tells us to do in the Great Commission is go. But instead, our traditional practice has always been to say, come. We're always inviting people to come to church, come to our fellowship, come to our group. Invite people to come may be our common practice, but Jesus said we are to go and find lost persons. If we do not go, how can we lead them to the Lord? Today, everyone has their road that they must take. So if we do not go, how can we find them? Go is a key concept. If we go, we are able to do things. If we just stay in one place, people will not automatically come to us. We cannot just wait in church, nor can we wait for someone to come to our small group at home. They'll not come automatically. Friends, let us decide to go now. As soon as you go out, you will see the way the Lord has opened for you. When you go out, you will see those who need you. If you stay, you will miss the opportunity to change or influence them. Staying does not demonstrate an obedient heart to the authority of Christ. What a tremendous first point Yinkai wrote there. We have to go out to the people. The evangelism model of just going and inviting people to church obviously doesn't work, because the churches as a whole, there are growing churches, praise God for that, but that church as a whole in the U.S. has been declining. But I believe a big reason for that is the evangelism model is broken. We can't just invite people to church. That's a good thing to do, invite people to your church. Please don't go around saying, Ken told me not to invite people. No, Ken says invite people to your church. That's a good thing to do. But what's even better is when we go out there and we reach out to them to tell them about the Lord, and we do the evangelizing, and we can share Jesus with them, we can share our testimony with them, and we can pray with them to give their lives to the Lord. And that's what Jesus is wanting us to do. And we can make disciples. And church is a very important part of this. Church is so important in our walk with Christ, because Jesus founded the church. Jesus is the head of the church. We have to have the church. We need each other. But we have to be willing to go out and reach the people ourselves, not just invite, but we got to go. And we need to talk with them, share Jesus. That's why we need to be grounded in his word. That's why we need to be obedient and say, Jesus, I know you told me to go, so I'm going. And you told me you'll be with me, so I know I can do this because you're with me. And so we need to go. Go, not come. Number two, everyone, not just some. Jesus said that all nations, that is every individual, should receive the gospel and become his disciple. But when we used to share the gospel, we would limit those with whom we share. Even when we were handing out gospel tracts on the streets, we chose the people to whom we handed the tracts. We were wrong. We should offer the gospel to everyone. This requires us to stretch our vision. We must go beyond our limited vision to the Great Commission, to a vision that God has given us. Remember Jesus' parable about the sower. The sower was a farmer, and he should have known which parts of the field were ready and good. But this farmer did not follow conventional wisdom. He spread seeds into every corner of the property. He scattered it everywhere. Yes, some seed fell on rocky ground. Some fell on the road. There were seeds among the thorns. However, some seed fell on good soil, and it yielded an increase by 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. It is our duty to sow the seeds broadly by sharing the gospel everywhere. But the growth of the seeds comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus sent the 70 disciples to share the gospel in Luke chapter 10, Jesus gave them a strategy of evangelism. Whichever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, we call them a person of peace, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you, and you become the person of peace. A person of peace is like the seed that was sown in good soil, reaping a harvest that is 100 times greater. If we limit the people who we share the gospel with and don't share with every individual, we miss these people of peace. Again, another very strong point Ying makes here. Everyone, not just some. We need to share Jesus with everyone. It's easy for us to look at people and say, they're not saved, or we're judging, right? And they're not going to listen to what I'm going to say. Oh, but this person over here, they looks like they would be interested. Or that person looks like they're saved. Well, we don't know unless we start talking with all of them. And we can't just pick and choose people. Often those who we think would never come to the Lord would be the first ones to come to the Lord. We need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone. We can't just pick those who look like us, those who are from our same economical background, those who are even our same race, those who are, all those differences. We don't need to think about that. We need to think about there's a person who may not know Jesus. Therefore, there's a person who is on their way to hell. Because without Christ, that's where we go, is to hell. With Christ, we go be with him in heaven. And so we need to look at people and say, well, I need to share Jesus with them. And sometimes I've started sharing my testimony or sharing Jesus with others, and come to find out they're born again believers, and that turns into a great conversation, because then I get to hear their story too, and they get to hear mine. But there's oftentimes the people, they don't know Jesus, and they need to hear him and have that opportunity to respond. And as a believer in Jesus, we need to scatter those seeds everywhere. Number three, a disciple, not a church member. Jesus wants us to make all people, that's all mankind, his disciples. Jesus did not say that a person can merely be a believer, a Christian, a brethren, a church member, fellowship member, etc. Jesus said it very clearly, disciple the nations. If we just make a person a church member, a Christian, or a fellowship member, we're not meeting the command of Jesus. He commanded us to make everyone his disciple. Disciples are true learners. They follow the master's footsteps and learn all the master's skills until they can complete their training and become a master themselves. This is what it means to be a disciple. So we should not just bring people to believe in the Lord, become a church member, a Christian, etc., but we must train them to become a trainer, that is a true disciple, who can train others. We have to train everyone to become a trainer. We are convinced that every Christian, even a person who has just decided to believe in Christ, who cannot yet train others, is but a nominal Christian. It is not until one can train others that they can grow into true disciples. Another amazing point here by Ying. It's not just about being a member of a church. Again, the church is so vital to our Christian walk. It's so vital to our life, and we need to be a part of a thriving church. But it's not just about being a church member. It's about being a true disciple. And a true disciple is one who truly follows Jesus, who tells others about him, and who trains others, make disciples. And I love what he put there. If we're not doing that, we're just a nominal Christian. Let's be Great Commission Christians. Let's do what Jesus is commanding us to do here. It's so clear what he commands us to do. And he's Jesus. He's God. We need to listen to him. And again, it's so amazing when we do. Life takes on whole new meaning. So many are looking for meaning of life. Well, hey, here it is. We were brought into this world to know God and to be loved by God, to love God, to worship him, to adore him, to live for him, and to experience his great love, mercy, grace, salvation. And as we do, and as we are becoming a disciple of Jesus and making disciples of Jesus, we get to experience all of this and so much more that God has for us. But we need to be a true believer, a true follower of Christ. Number four, tell your own story. Jesus said to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We all know that baptism is a very important testimony as Christians, so we must train everyone to tell their own story. In many areas around the world, the environment may not allow you to evangelize, but nowhere in the world will you be restricted from sharing your story. So we need to train everyone to be ready to tell their own story in order to share Jesus' love. Our testimonies are so powerful. That's a wonderful thing we discuss in our DM Squared classes, our testimonies. and we learn how to write out our testimonies so we can share them with each other in class. And I love that part of the class so much because I get to hear everybody's story, and they get to hear mine too. I love to share my story. And our testimonies mean so much to others because if we're talking to somebody about Jesus who don't know Jesus, then they're just not familiar with them, right? They know from what we're telling them that all this was written in a book called the Bible, and we can share different stories out of the Bible as well. But when we share our story, they're looking at us face to face. They see that we're real. And when we tell them what Jesus has done in our lives, it makes an impact because they see that we're real. And so if all this has happened to us, then Jesus, he must be real too. And these others who are in the Bible that we talk about, whether it's Paul or Peter or Moses or David or Daniel, they realize, you know what, those people must be real too, because this guy talking to me is real and things that's happened in his life is real. And he said it's because of this Jesus, so he must be real. So our testimonies are so powerful, and we need to share them. We have many testimonies. We have our salvation testimony, which is, we got to be able to share that. But then there's other things that happens in our lives that we're able to share what Jesus did in this situation, in that situation. Maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's a deliverance. Maybe it's a provision. Whatever God has done, share that with people. It makes a difference. So we need to tell our story. And number five, train others. Jesus said, teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. If we are only bringing people to Christ and letting them become fellow church members, our work is not complete. We must train them into disciples who are also able to train others. Only then will we have completed Jesus' great commission. So it is not just training, but training them to the point where they can take action to train others. So we must train. Jesus tells us, teach others to obey all I've taught you. So there it is. He's telling us what to do again. Remember, he's telling us to make disciples by going, by baptizing, by teaching. And so we need to be able to teach others, but also teach them how to teach others. Hence, training for trainers. Hence, disciples making disciple makers. So training is a very important part of the Great Commission. And number six, obey. This point is so important. Without obedience, there are no results. Once we obey our mission from the Great Commission, we can get the greatest blessing from God and a special promise from Matthew 28, verse 20. Jesus said, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." How Jesus taught and trained us is how we should teach and train others. The Lord shared his gospel with us, so we too must share the gospel with others. We must teach others to obey the Lord's word. This is an extremely important truth, for having the Lord's presence is totally different from the Lord's absence. So if we want to receive Christ's greatest promise, we must obey the Lord's mandate, and the Lord will be with us to the end of the world. Amen. Praise God. Again, living out this Great Commission, living for Jesus, it's the greatest. Because like Ying pointed out here, Jesus tells us, I'm with you. I'm with you to the end of the age. The end of the age is when he returns. And so he is with us. And as we go out to tell others about Jesus, to baptize, to teach, we know that he is with us. And it's all about his presence. As we study scripture, we see it's about the presence of God. In Exodus, when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, the whole point about leaving Egypt, that's not the main point of the scripture there. They wanted to be in God's presence, and they wanted to go out and worship. They kept asking Pharaoh. Moses kept saying, "Let us go out and worship the Lord our God." And Pharaoh kept saying no. But they wanted to go out and worship the Lord their God. They wanted to be in his presence. And when they got into the Holy Land, it's all about his presence. God gave them instructions about the tent, and God gave them instructions about with the Ten Commandments and the Holy of Holies. And you look at the temple as we keep going on through biblical history, and it's all about his presence and Jesus. Jesus comes into this world, Emmanuel, God with us. and he's telling us, I'll be with you always. So it's about his presence, and to be in his presence by living this life the way he shows us to. Oh, it's just, again, it's awesome. Again, you'll go through tough times as we all do. I go through hard times. But the thing is, he is with me. He's with you. We experience his presence. And in the good times, they're even better because of his presence. He is with us. So we need to remember that. Let's obey Jesus. Let's obey this great commission he has given us. And let's go out and tell others about Jesus and make disciples. And one more thing that Yin Kai says that I really like is where he wrote, there are only two kinds of people in the world, the lost and the saved. That's simple, isn't it? And so true. We're either lost or we're saved. That's the only two kinds of people in the world. To the lost, we share the love of Jesus. We lead them to the Lord to believe in Jesus. You know, let the Holy Spirit work through us to lead them to believe in Jesus. And then immediately train them to become trainers who train others, disciple others, so they can disciple others themselves, and it keeps going. That's how the gospel multiplies. One trains another, who trains another, who trains another, and so forth. To the Christians, we determine to train them as trainers, to share the gospel and to train others to do the same. And we can do that because Jesus says we can. We can be disciples of his who make disciples, who can make disciples. And remember, people are either lost or they're saved. And we want to see them saved. We want to see them come to the Lord. So let's live this life like we believe that. Let's live this life like we want that to really happen. Let's make disciples by going and telling others about Jesus, sharing our story with them. Let's make disciples by baptizing. You know, that's part of our testimony. When we're baptized, that's a testimony to those who are watching it. We're telling them, without saying a word even, but by being baptized, we're saying, I have chosen to follow Jesus. This is my testimony to you and to the world. And let's make disciples by teaching. Let's study his word. Let's tell others his word and train them. And while we're training them, also train them how to do the same thing, how to make disciples by going, baptizing, and teaching. So I hope this lesson today has helped as we talked about the Great Commission, and we will continue talking more about the Great Commission as we go along here on Sunday Morning with Love and Action. But for today, we have to come to a close. Our time is up, and just want to thank you once again for listening this morning. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, call on him today. Please call on him. I can't encourage you enough. Jesus loves you. He died for you. And he wants to give you life everlasting. Just call on the name of Jesus. Reach out to him. Just talk to him. You like, I can't see him, Ken. That's okay. He's there. He's here. Ask him to forgive you and to be your Savior and confess him as your Lord. And then tell somebody. If you want to tell me, drop me an email at ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. Or you can call us here at Love in Action at 334-494-4995, 334-494-4995. Well, I pray you all have a great rest of the week. Know Jesus loves you, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.